G'day, and welcome to Stories of a Faithful God for Kids, the podcast where God kindly shows us things in the Bible that we could never have worked out on our own. Dave Whittingham here. Remember, if you have questions or comments about the show, don't forget to send them in at faithfulgod.net, faithfulgod.net. Also, if you like the show, make sure you share it with friends and family, people at your church, people who don't go to church or who don't know Jesus yet. Let's help people to get to know the faithful God more, or even for the first time. Hey, have you ever felt like you're really happy with God? He's doing good things, it feels easy to trust him, everything seems to be going well, and then something goes wrong. Really wrong. So wrong, you actually have no idea how it can get better. And you're like, what happened there, God? What are you doing? In our last episode, everything seemed bad. There was a baby who seemed like he was about to be killed, but then God turned it all over. Suddenly, everything was better than you could imagine. In today's episode, it's like that happens backwards. Everything's better than you could imagine, but then everything seems like it goes wrong. And you could think, what on earth happened to God's plan? Did it all go wrong? Has God forgotten the plan? Get ready for our next episode of Stories of a Faithful God for Kids. In our last episode, we saw how God had put Moses in a powerful position. He'd rescued him from death, rescued him from slavery, and had him growing up as the adopted son of the king's daughter. Moses was in a position of power. It would be easy to think that he was becoming so powerful so that he'd be able to free God's people, the Israelites, or Hebrews as they're also called. Well, Moses grows up to be a man, and one day he goes out to see his people, the Hebrews. Even though he's been raised by Egyptian royalty, he still knows he's a Hebrew. And what he sees is really sad. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, we're told, "He saw that they were forced to work very hard." Remember, they've been made slaves by the Egyptians and treated really badly. Doing backbreaking work of making mud bricks, building cities, being whipped and yelled at by the people in charge. As Moses is watching all this, he sees something that makes him so angry. Verses 11 and 12 say, "He saw an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew man, one of Moses' own people." Now, it may seem like Moses is really powerful. After all, he's been adopted into the royal family. Surely he could just tell this Egyptian to stop. But perhaps he isn't as powerful as things seem. He does make the Egyptian stop. Not with his words, though, but with his muscles. The Bible tells us that Moses looked all around and saw that no one was watching. So he killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. That's not quite how you might have thought that'd go. Even though it's strange, even though it may not be the best solution, there's still something good here. Moses is starting to become the savior, the one who'll save his people from slavery. This poor Hebrew man was being whipped and beaten, and then Moses came and saved him. Woohoo! It seems like the hopes and dreams around Moses are starting to come true. That is, until the next day, when things start to get a little bit disappointing. Moses goes out again, and he sees two Hebrew men fighting each other. This is another great opportunity for Moses to be the saviour, not just from slavery, but saving the Israelites from doing the wrong thing, treating each other really badly. And so in verse 13 he steps in. We're told, he saw that one man was in the wrong. Moses said to that man, "Why are you hitting one of your own people?" And do you think the man says, "Oh, Moses, you're absolutely right. What am I doing? How can I treat my fellow Israelite like this?" No. That's not really how it goes. In fact, this guy doesn't care what Moses thinks at all. In verse 14, he says to Moses, "Who made you our ruler and judge? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" Uh-oh. With all of Moses' power and importance, he can't even stop one Hebrew from doing something bad. Doesn't this guy realize that it's actually God who's making Moses their ruler and judge? Doesn't he realize that Moses is actually trying to do something really, really good? Suddenly, things seem to be going really badly. Moses can't do his job properly. The Israelites don't seem to be falling into line with what God wants. What's happening to God's plan? Well, then things get even worse. Moses had thought that he'd managed to keep what he'd done a secret. He thought that no one knew about him killing the Egyptian. Now, as his body starts to shake with fear, he realizes, people know. And eventually, the news reaches the king. Verse 15 says, when the king heard about what Moses had done, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses ran away from the king and went to live in the land of Midian. Wait, what? What kind of savior is this? Surely Moses was put in a position of power. He got to be part of the royal family. Surely God gave him all these special privileges so that he could save the Israelites. Now he's running away. You can imagine standing on the edge of Egypt calling out, "Hey Moses, come back! Where are you going? You got a job to do!" But all you see is a smaller and smaller speck in the distance, kicking up a cloud of dust as Moses gets further and further away. How can this possibly fit with God's plan? Well, Moses gets to the land of Midian and he sits down by a well, a hole in the ground to get water out of. There aren't any taps in those days. Now we're introduced to a new man, a guy who's a priest in Midian, and he has seven daughters. The daughters come to the well with all their dad's sheep to give them a drink. That's not an easy job. You gotta lift the water out with a bucket or a jar on a rope, and water's really heavy. They pour the water into the troughs, and just as they've done all the hard work and they're about to water the sheep, some other shepherds turn up. Some men. And let's just say they're not very nice people, because they arrive and chase the women away. They're going to try and take all the water that the sisters have worked so hard for. Thankfully, Moses steps into his savior role again. He's not going to let the men get away with this. This time, it's the shepherds who are chased away by Moses. And then he brings over the lady's sheep and waters them, making sure that those other guys don't try their same old tricks. Phew! Maybe there's hope for Moses after all. Maybe God really can use him. Well, the daughters go home to their dad. His name's Reuel. Later in the Bible, he's also called Jethro, which gets a bit confusing. For now, we'll stick with Reuel. And he's really surprised to see them back so early. And so he asks them in verse 18, "Why have you come home early today?" And the girls answered, "The shepherds chased us away, but an Egyptian defended us. He got water for us and watered our sheep." That's great news, but Reuel's really surprised that they've left this man out by the well. In verse 20, he says, "Where is this man? Why did you leave him? Invite him to eat with us." So, Moses comes back for a meal, and then more than a meal. Reuel invites him to stay with them and gives one of his daughters, Zipporah, to Moses as a wife. Getting married in those days was much simpler. There wasn't any lovey-dovey dating. The dad just said to his daughter, "Right, you're going to marry him." Very simple. I wonder if I can do that with my daughters. Anyway. After a while, they have a son, who Moses calls Gershom. That's a name that means something like foreigner. Moses knows that he is a foreigner. He isn't in his own land, he isn't with his own people. But he doesn't seem to have any plans to go back. He doesn't think of himself as a saviour, he thinks his life in Egypt is over. At the start of the story, it seemed like Moses was going to rescue his people from slavery. Now, he's settling down, starting a family, trying to put his old life behind him. What's God doing? Has he forgotten? Has he failed? Not at all. Do you remember last week? We saw how God does his most amazing work when everything seems lost, when all his plans seem weak. That's when you get to see just how powerful he is. That's what's about to happen now. In verse 23, we're told this. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The people of Israel groaned because they were forced to work very hard. They cried for help. Notice that we're not told who they cry to. Usually, if they cry out to God in the Bible, that's what we're told. But at this time, they don't seem to know their God. They don't seem to know who to cry out to. This is just another sign of how bad things are. The people of God seem to have forgotten their God. But at the end of verse 23, even though they're not crying out to God specifically, we're told, "And God heard them." You see, even if the people have forgotten God, he hasn't forgotten them. We're told in verse 24, God heard their cries, and he remembered the agreement he'd made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the troubles of the people of Israel, and he was concerned about them. When it says he remembered the agreement he'd made, it doesn't mean that he'd forgotten, and then suddenly slapped his head and said, "Oh, I knew there was something I was meant to be doing." No, it's saying he hasn't forgotten. It's on his mind, and he's going to do something about it. God had promised to rescue his people from Egypt, give them the land of Canaan, bless them, and make them a blessing to the world. And because God's faithful, he always keeps his promises. Last week, when things ended so well with Moses, it was easy to say, "Yeah, God's in charge, we can trust him." When things seem good and then they become really bad, like in today's story, it can be much harder to trust him. We can feel like he's failed, or like he's forgotten us, or he's forgotten his promises. But you know what? God never changes. God never forgets. God never gives up. He's always faithful, so we can always trust him. At the end of Exodus chapter 2, God looks at his people who are crying out because of all the hard things they're going through. He loves them. He's concerned for them. He's determined to keep his promises. He's about to show everyone, the Israelites and the Egyptians and us, who he really is, how faithful he is, how good he is, how powerful he is. But that's a story for next time. See you then. Thanks so much for listening. Adults, if you think this podcast is helpful for your kids and for others, please show your appreciation by donating some money to help keep the show going. You can donate at faithfulgod.net, that's faithfulgod.net, Thanks so much to everyone who already has donated. You make all this possible. Also, kids and adults, I'd love you to go to the website and send me a message. Tell me how you're finding the show. And don't forget to follow Stories of a Faithful God on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Bye for now.